Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of News Bites. I'm news anchor David James, and this is a special live report. And this is a quote from a Jew, and the quote says, well, the name of the story I should tell you is, who are the Jews and who they are not? The quote says, no one can deny that the Jews are a most unique and unusual people. That uniqueness exists because of their Edomite heritage. You cannot be English Jews. It says, we are a race. They're not a race. They're a race mixed with all races. They're a conglomerate. And only as a race can we perpetuate, he says. Our mentality is of Edomitish character and differs from that of an Englishman. Enough subterfuges. Let us assert openly that we are international Jews. That's the manifesto of the World Jewish Federation, January 1st, 1935, through its spokesperson, Gerald Soman. Now, isn't it interesting that he's using the term Edomite? They weren't afraid to use this term then. You realize that since they've done that, they've locked themselves out of claiming that the white race are the Edomites. And they try to call us Amalek. But of course, I've proven that Amalek, right out of the scriptures, that Amalek is in the bloodline of Edom. So, sorry, Charlie Steen. No go. So it says here, in the quote above, you can see Gerald Soman boldly proclaiming that the Jewish so-called race and the unique nature of the Jewish people isn't attributable to their ethnicity as Edomites. So it's attributable to their ethnicity as Edomites. Now, isn't this interesting? But how can this be true? After all, the ancient Israelites and Edomites were two distinct and separate nations in the Bible and throughout history. If today's Jews are indeed Edomites, then they are certainly not Israelites, nor God's chosen people. And their claim to the land of Israel or Palestine would lack any biblical basis. Is Gerald Soman correct in asserting that Jews are not actually Israelites, but rather the descendants of the Edomites? Absolutely. Where did the word Jew come from? The word Jew is a relatively new term. The letter J was not even used in the English language until the 1600s and was not part of the common vernacular until the 1700s. The word Jew was not in use until the 18th century. Get it? 18666? If we examine today's King James Version of the Bible, which contains many errors and mistranslations, we don't even find the term Jew until 2 Kings 16, verse 6. These references to Jews in the older part of the Testament were pertaining specifically to Judahites, people who were members of the tribe of Judah, who were Israelites by race. So you can see these Christians that wrote this particular article, they have a clue, and they know. It's funny that the meme, if you like to say it that way, of the scriptures being absolutely perfect. It was, I believe, a meme or something that was put in and parroted by all these pastors, so-called pastors, and preachers, etc., etc. It's been parroted ever since the King James Bible came out. That way there you could not question it. You wouldn't say, you'd say, well, oh no, the Bible's the perfect word of God, but you can't question that. And of course, you wouldn't question the Apostle Paul because of that either, right? You wouldn't say, well, he's got a different gospel than Jesus Christ's gospel. but we won't question it because it's the perfect word of God. And see, the delusion about that, or the illusion about that, is that they're trying to say, well, God, of course he could keep his word perfect, and he did. But what you may not realize is we are in a test here. And it says at the end of the book, and it's really just one book all the way through, it's got several chapters to it. And it says if anyone changes the words, adds to it, or takes away from it, they will have the plagues that are in this book. And what that means is the Father knew that this was going to happen. He allowed it to happen because he wants you to study to show yourself approved. You can certainly find the truth if you want to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, which he gave us. So there's no excuse. You can't say, well, they deliberately mistranslated the Bible and they put weird words in there like Gentile and all these different words. But there's a lot I could say about this whole thing. But this is the news. So you understand what I'm saying though? God allowed this. Yahweh allowed this to happen. He allowed the apostles Paul's works to be put in there, which Judaized Christianity. Don't be mad at me. It's what I'm finding out, and it's serious business. So let's continue. Later in the newer part of the Testament, the word Jew is used in reference to a Judean or someone who was living in the Roman province known as Judea. As discussed in the essay, Was Jesus a Jew? The word Jew was a geographic rather than a racial designation in the newer part of the Testament. Obviously, the word Jew wasn't used in the Greek either. It was actually the Greek word iudeos, or the way they say it is iudeos, which doesn't mean Jew, but Judean, or one who is a resident of Judea. A Judean is a person whose home is in the land of Judea or southern Palestine. It is a geographical term such as a New Yorker, which can be sometimes white, black, brown, or yellow by race. He can be Christian, Jew, Buddhist, or atheist. So an iudeos or iudeos, Judean or Jew in the New Testament, could be any person who lived in Judea. Whereas we've seen there were quite a few Israelites of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. There are also a lot of Edomite Judeans, along with Romans, Greeks, Syrians, Egyptians, and so on. Even the Jewish historian Benjamin Friedman acknowledged that the word Jew was originally simply a reference to Judeans. As I have explained, when the word Jew was first introduced into the English language in the 18th century, its one and only implication, inference, and innuendo was Judean. However, during the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries, a well-organized and well-financed international pressure group created a so-called secondary meaning, quote-unquote, for the word Jew among the English-speaking peoples of the world. This so-called secondary meaning for the word Jew bears no relation whatsoever to the 18th century original connotation of the word Jew. It is a misrepresentation, the article says. The secondary meaning referenced by Friedman was, of course, linked to today's Jews, with those same groups referenced in the Bible, Judeans, Judahites, and Israelites. A close examination of history proves this secondary meaning to be false, exactly as Benjamin Friedman attests. To gain deeper understanding of who today's Jews are and who they are not, we must examine the racial makeup of the Judeans, or those who were living in the Roman province of Judea. Isn't this interesting that I picked this as a news story, and it's quite informing, isn't it? Who were the Judeans? The most authoritative sources that describe the racial composition of the province of Judea are Roman historians writing around the time of Christ. Strabo, the geographer, describes the multiracial makeup of Judea and the surrounding region in chapter 2 of his geography. Beginning from Cilicia, or Cilicia. Isn't that interesting, like Sicily? Cilicia, but this is with a C. And Mount Emanus, we set down as parts of Syria, Commagene, and the Seleucus of Syria, as it is called then, Coel Syria. Lastly, on the coast, Phoenicia, and in interior Judea, some writers divide the whole of Syria into Coelo-Syrians, Syrians, and Phoenicians, and say that they were intermixed with these four other nations, Jews, meaning Judeans, Idumeans, Gazians, and Azoti, some of whom are husbandmen, as the Syrians and Coelo-Syrians. I don't know how you say that. It's kind of a weird thing. It's C-O-E mixed together, L-O. Coelo-Syrians and other merchants as the Phoenicians. Strabo, the geographer who lived from 64 BC to 24 AD, clearly describes this region as intermixed with different races of people at the time of his writing. The Judean historian Flavius Josephus describes how the Idumeans or Edomites became known as Judeans through a forced conversion imposed by John Hyrcanus, who was the ruler of Judea around 130 BC. Hyrcanus took also Dora and Marissa, cities of Idumea, and subdued all the Idumeans, the Edomites, and permitted them to stay in the country if they would circumcise their genitals and make use of the laws of the Jews, Judeans. And they were so desirous of living in the country of their forefathers that they submitted to the use of circumcision, 25 and of the rest of the Jewish Judean ways of living, at which time, therefore, this befell them, and they were hereafter no other than Jews, Judeans. This is very significant because it explains how the race of Edomites became Judeans or citizens of Judea. In Book 16, Volume 3 of this geography, Strabo also mentions how the Idumeans, which are the Edomites, adopted the customs of the Judeans. The western extremities of Judea towards Cassius are occupied by Idumeans and by the Lake Serbonus. The Idumeans are Nabataeans. When driven from their country by sedition, they passed over to the Judeans and adopted their customs. The word Idumean was simply a Greek term for Edomite. Idumean, Edomite. It's a Greek term, he says. An example, the race of Edom, the descendants of Esau. The Jewish Encyclopedia also acknowledges the Edomite origin of the Idumeans. Edom. Idumea, country in southeast Palestine, also called Mount Seir. Its terrain was mountainous and easily fortified, and its land was fertile. East lay of south of the Dead Sea and bordered on the Red Sea at Elath and Ezion Geber. The Edomites were of Semitic origin, traditionally descendants of Esau. Yeah, but that didn't stay that way. And lived by hunting. They dispossessed the Horite inhabitants of Seir and organized themselves along tribal lines headed by the chieftain called Aluf, later consolidating into a monarchy. The Edomites were traditional enemies of the Israelites. They fought Saul and were defeated by David, who partially annexed the land. The Edomites regained their independence during the reign of Jehoram. Get it? but the wars between the two states were frequent. In the 8th century BCE, now they're using this crap before Christ entered, it's just BC, the Edomites became vassals of Assyria. At that time, the destruction of the first temple, they plundered and looted in association with the Babylonians, and being driven out from Seir by the Nabataeans, occupied South Judah during or after the period of the exile. The Edomites were conquered by John Hyrcanus, who forcibly converted them to Judaism. And from then on, they constituted a part of the Jewish people, Herod being one of their descendants. Well, as far as Judaism, it was always by word, but the Babylonian Talmud was written in Babylon, of course. I don't understand this part about Hyrcanus converting them to Judaism. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, that's what the article is saying. From the time of 130 BC onward, Judea was a multiracial province, which included amongst its inhabitants genetic Judahites, descendants of the Israelites or House of Israel, and also Idumeans, descendants of Edomites, as well as Canaanites and other people. Therefore, the word Jew should actually not be in the Bible, as it has been misapplied in both the older and newer parts of the Testament. The Older Testament Jews should read Judahite, those of the tribe of Judah, Israelites. The newer part of the Testament, Jew, should be read Judean, or one who was living in the Roman province of Judea. Additionally, the term Judaism in the Bible is used to reference the religion of the Judeans at the time, which has nothing to do with the Talmud-based religion of modern-day Jews. Well, I don't know. That sounds a little funny to me. But recall that after the death of King Solomon, the Israelites divided into the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom, which retained the name Israel. A few centuries later, the two kingdoms fell victim to the conquest of the Assyrian and Babylonian empires, which led to the removal of the vast majority of the inhabitants of the land. Once the Babylonian Empire fell, the Persian king Cyrus gave leave to a group of Judahites in Babylon to resettle in Jerusalem. This small remnant of Israelites in Judea would be intermixed with many non-Israelites by the time of Christ. When you interpret the Bible through the correct historical lens, everything makes sense and there are no contradictions. I agree 100%. The divisions and strife recorded in the newer part of the Testament were clashes between the distinct races of people who were both living in Judea, the true house family of Israel, whom Christ came for in Matthew 15:24, and the Edomite Jews, whom Christ rebuked in Luke 11:47-51, John 8:33-47, and John 10:26. So who were the Edomites, it says? The origin of the Edomites is explained in Genesis. The Edomites were the descendants of Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, and the son of Isaac and Rebekah. This is an important turning point in the Bible and in history, since Jacob and Esau would become two separate and distinct nations, as described in Genesis 25:23. Each of these brothers would, I was going to say that, you know, there are two nations when Rebekah asked the father what was going on inside of her, he talked about that there were two nations, which is Jacob and Esau. Each of these brothers would produce two distinct lines or races of people because of whom they married and as in the resultant offspring. Jacob took wives of his own tribe, his own race, that means, which pleased his parents and the Father in heaven. His descendants were Israelites. Meanwhile, Esau took wives of the Canaanites, thereby mixing seed with the alien race who were the descendants of Cain, right? They were Hittites and so on and so forth. He did marry one white woman or something like that, if I remember correctly. This connection between the Edomites, Esau, and the Canaanites is fully explained in Genesis chapter 36, verse 1 through 9. That's 9 and 9. 666. Get it? Now these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. Esau took his wives of the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibama, the daughter of Ana, and the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Bashemath, Ishmael's daughter. See, that's a white woman, sister of Nebajoth. And Ada bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Bashemath bare Reuel, and Aholibama bare Jeush. That's Jeush. And Jalam and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. And Esau took his wives and sons and daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. For their riches were more than they might, than that they might dwell together. I'm sorry. And the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom, which means red. And these are the generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites in Mount Seir. While Jacob and his descendants were blessed, Esau and his descendants were hated by God. Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Malachi 1, verse 2 to 3. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9, 13. So to recap, Esau married Canaanite wives, and his offspring were known as Edomites. In other words, they were mongrels. You see? And that's what Jews are. So you, when they would make a claim, oh, we are the seed of Abraham, well, that might have been true for a very short period, but they were absorbed into the other races. And it's been, I've clearly, from the beginnings of Saxon's Creed, I've clearly made it clear to you that they have to race mix in order to live. If they were to just be put as a people amongst themselves, they would die. The race would stagger and die. They don't have any life force in their blood, and they don't have proper bone marrow, so they have to keep race mixing. So the Idumeans living in Judea around the time of Christ were Edomites, who were forcibly converted and recognized as Judeans by John Hyrcanus. Even though they were racial aliens and not Israelites of the house of Israel, a family of Israel, this is the point at which the racial Edomites, descendants of Esau, were intermixed with the Israelites, Judahites, in the province of Judea. Now that we've established the historical and biblical foundation for the Edomite so-called race, let's turn to modern sources that reveal the true identity of today's Jews. Wow, this is a long, but you know what? We'll just do it anyway. You ready? Additional sources explaining Jewish identity. While there are various quotes which reportedly link modern Jewry to Edom, many of these sources are difficult to verify. There is one easily verifiable quote, however, from the 1980 Jewish Almanac that clearly denies the connection between modern Jews and Israelites. Strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. 1980 Jewish Almanac, page 3. So they continually, as a deception, call these Jews Hebrews, don't they? So listen again to the quote. Strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew, or an Hebrew, it should say. Strictly speaking, okay, so it says that right in there, and they show a picture of it. This is a good article to have and to keep. Believe me, I can see that. I didn't know it was this long or else I wouldn't have picked it for the news, but so be it. Some things are just meant to be. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Jews are neither Israelites nor Hebrews. There are many sources which suggest that Jews are in fact related to Khazars, a population that inhabited southern Ukraine. In 2014, the Times of Israel acknowledged a leaked report suggesting Jews are actually Khazars rather than true Israelites. Leaked report. Israel acknowledges Jews in fact Khazars. Secret plan for reverse migration to Ukraine. Here are a few excerpts from the Times of Israel article. It is well known that sometime in the 8th or 9th centuries, the Khazars, a warlike Turkic people, converted to Judaism and ruled over a vast domain in what became southern Russia and Ukraine. What happened to them after the Russians destroyed that empire around the 11th century has been a mystery. Many have speculated that the Khazars became the ancestors of the Ashkenazi Jews. Ashkenazi Jews. In 2012, Israeli researcher Iran Elhake, that's a hard one, published a study claiming to prove that Khazar ancestry is the single largest element in the Ashkenazi gene pool. Sand declared himself vindicated, and progressive organs such as Haaretz and The Forward trumpeted the results. Israel seems finally to have thrown in the towel. A blue ribbon team of scholars from leading research institutions and museums has just issued a secret report to the government acknowledging that European Jews are in fact Khazars. But ladies and gentlemen, you know what I've told you about that all along, right? Remember I told you that when they came into Germany, these Khazar Jews, that there was not one farmer among them? They were all merchants. You get it. We don't have to keep explaining it. The Jewish author Arthur Koestler made the same argument in his 1976 book, The 13th Tribe, where he claimed, "The large majority of surviving Jews in the world is of Eastern European and thus perhaps mainly of Khazar origin. If so, this would mean that their ancestors came not from the Jordan, but from the Volga. Not from Canaan, but from the Caucasus, once believed to be the cradle of the Aryan race, and that genetically they are more closely related to the Hun, Uyghur, or Magar tribes than that of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israelites." The Jewish historian and anti-Zionist quoted above, Benjamin Friedman, also argued that the Jews are in fact Khazars, not Israelites. See, I'm wondering, you know, if this fellow is going to fall for this, oh, these Khazars, they're 95% of Jews and they're not Jews. You know, this is a, we'll see what happens here. Hopefully this doesn't go on too much longer. But unless it straightens itself out, we'll find out. Let me see here. The Jewish historian, right. Okay, so the origin and history of the Khazars and Khazar kingdom are certainly incontestable historical facts. These incontestable historical facts also establish beyond any question of doubt the origin and history of the so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe. The origin of the history of the Khazars and Khazar kingdom and their relationship to the origin of the early history of so-called or self-styled Jews in Eastern Europe was one of history's best-kept secrets until wide publicity was given in recent years to my research on the subject. Finally, the Jewish author Shlomo Sand, in his book, The Invention of the Jewish People, also wrote that today's Jews are in fact Khazars. The Edomite-Khazar connection. Okay, now maybe they'll straighten it out here. In the first millennium AD, we find a large-scale migration of Edomites and Canaanites into the Khazaria region, who then mixed themselves with the native inhabitants. That's more like it. This sounds a little more like what we're talking about here. Hasidi ibn Sharprut, who was a foreign minister to Abd al-Rahman, Sultan of Cordova, in his letter to King Joseph of the Khazars and that was spelled C-H-A-Z-A-R-S, about 960 A.D., instead of K-H. You see, here we are again, ladies and gentlemen. You know what that means, right? Speaks of the tradition according to which the Khazars once dwelled near the Seir Mountains. The Seir Mountains are none other than the original land of Esau, Edom. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. Genesis 36, verse 8. Seir was a mountain range sought of the Dead Sea and was also known as the land of Edom. Genesis 36, 21. The Seir Mountains were the home of the Edomites for nearly a millennium. The Edomites arrived in Edom, or Seir, at the end of the 14th and the beginning of the 13th century B.C. Encyclopedia Judaica, Volume 6, page 372. Thus we have it from Jewish sources that the Khazars originally dwelt near the Seir Mountains, so are racially of Edomite stock. Okay, this now that's corrected here. But how and when did the Edomites go to Khazaria? Because let me just stop right there. Remember that the Germans, when these Khazars came into their land, they went to other parts of the world, including Palestine, to see if those Jews were exactly the same as these people. And they were. So we get that from the Jews, that these are Edomites, these Khazars are Edomites. But see, that's not what Benjamin Friedman wanted you to know. See, they were trying to play another game there. They were trying to play a game with you that 95% of Jewry are these non-Jews. They're not real Jews. And they're the source of all the evil that Jewry gets blamed for. They're the bankers. They're the Rothschilds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the other 5% are the real Jews of the tribe of Judah. See, that's what Friedman was trying to pull off. So anyway, we have it here now. They've told us that the Khazarian Jews and the Edomites are one and the same, really. So, thus we have it from the Jewish sources that the Khazars originally dwelt near the Seir Mountains, so are racially of Edomite stock. But how and when did Edomites go to Khazaria? There is evidence that in the 6th century BC, some of the Edomites fled their homeland of Seir and migrated north after the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. The Edomites began to press northward. Ezekiel 36:5, the Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 4, 1905, page 3. The genetic and historical ties to the Khazaria region may explain why Jewish neoconservatives such as Victoria Nuland and Robert Kagan, that means king, have played an active role in destabilizing Crimea in the Ukraine. We also find that the Jewish globalist George Soros, real name Yorji Schwartz, Mr. Black, finally supported the Ukrainian Maiden Revolution. And it says here, Jews are a race, not just a religion. Well, they're neither a religion nor a race, as I've told you before. You can't be a race-mixed mob of race-mixed people and call yourself, a mob of race-mixed people and call yourself a single race. It doesn't work that way. It's a conglomerate. It's a motley crew. It's not nothing pure. It's mongrels. And Judaism is not a religion. Genetic testing performed on Jews around the world shows not only that Jews are a unique, and they want to use this term race, but they're not a race, but that they have also mingled and mixed with neighboring population groups throughout their history. Researchers in the New York and Tel Aviv conducted a genome-wide analysis on 237 individuals from 7 well-established Jewish communities around the world hailing from Iran, Iraq, Italy, Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Eastern Europe. The team then compared these genetic profiles to that of non-Jews in the same geographic regions based on the data from human the Human Genome Diversity Project, a database of genomic information for individuals from populations worldwide, each group of Jews is genetically distinct, but similarities between the groups weave them together with what researchers describe as a genetic thread. That's what I would say is more rather than race. There has been this back and forth discussion over the course of a century or more. Are these a people? Is this the genome? Says Harry Oster, a geneticist at New York University, the study's lead author. The new findings, he says, show that there does seem to be some genetic basis to Jewishness. The researchers analyzed single-letter differences in the genome called single nucleotide polymorphisms, longer segments of DNA shared between different Jewish groups, as well as deleted or duplicated stretches of DNA called copy number variants. Although the groups had strong genetic commonalities, the results also showed a varying degree of genetic mixing with nearby non-Jewish populations. I hope you're listening, ladies and gentlemen. This behavior, of course, matches that of Esau, the patriarch of the Edomites, who mingled his seed with foreign Canaanite women rather than taking wives of his own tribe, like his brother Jacob did. An authoritative study of blood types of both Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jews entitled The Genetics of Jews by A.E. Morant, Clarendon Press, 1978, found that all Jews tested had between 5 and 10 admixture of black African blood, which is the result of having lived in close proximity to Arabs and Africans in the Middle East and North Africa. I told you that this is somewhat a confirmation that the blacks are also the seed line of Cain. It's a distinct possibility, ladies and gentlemen. This is also further evidence that proves that today's Jews are not the Israelites of the older part of the Testament, who were strictly forbidden from intermarrying with foreign non-Israelite nations. Do not intermarry with them, non-Israelite nations. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. Deuteronomy 7, verse 3. Unlike his brother Jacob, Israel, Esau was a profane man who adulterated his seeds. See, that's what adultery means. Oh, adultery can mean you're cheating on your wife, but when you adulterate something, you pollute it. You don't follow the original, let's say, recipe. Because that's what Julia Child said to Jacques Pepin, when they were making a salad. They were making a Caesar salad, and he put some different things in it than the original. She had known the people that created the Caesar salad and knew what was in it, and she said, you adulterated it. You see? Genealogies contained in the Bible always show patrilineal descent, whereas Jews trace their ancestry through matrilineal descent, another obvious contradiction between the Israelites of the Bible and today's Jews. By Jewish law, it is necessary for a Jew to have only a Jewish mother to be considered a Jew. The father can be of any race, but just as long as the mother is racially Jewish, the child qualifies as a Jew. This law tactfully implies that racial mixing can and does occur without losing Jewish identity. This genetic basis of today's Jews has been widely studied and confirmed over the years. Here was a major finding confirming this fact. Now, they're saying that the Jews are a race here. The DNA links prove Jews are a race. Well, they're not a race, but they're genetically, they have connections genetically. Conjuring fear of Nazism and anti-Jewishism, Jews recoil from the thought that Judaism might be a race. Well, they're not a race. But medical geneticist Harry Oster insists the biological basis of Jewishness cannot be ignored. See, it doesn't matter if your mother is a Jew or your dad is a Jew. Once you've been tainted by the seed of these people, you're gone. Your bloodline is destroyed. Further proof showing that Jews are a distinct, I'm not going to say, they're not a race. Rather than merely a people of the Jewish religion, they're not a religion. You see, they like to keep on putting this stuff forward like it's real. Like, you know, this, the Jewish question has always been, are the Jews a race or are the Jews a religion? Well, I've answered it. They're neither. Israeli and American scientists have discovered a gene among the Ashkenazi Jews that increases their chances of developing the mental disorder schizophrenia. Are you listening? As well as schizoaffective disorder and manic depression. According to a study recently published in Nature Communications, the gene in question raises Ashkenazi Jews' chances of experiencing the disorders by roughly 40% and by 15% in the general population. The reason for choosing Ashkenazi Jews as the subject for the study of all groups available is rooted in the fact that Ashkenazi Jews are considered to be an especially homogeneous group in terms of genetics. The limited genetic variation among Ashkenazi Jews allows for easy identification of differences between healthy and affected individuals. Finally, there is also the fact that obtaining citizenship to Israel is entirely dependent on proving that one is genetically Jewish. It has nothing to do with religion, but rather DNA. Polymorphic Jewish identity. In terms of identity, Jews are polymorphic, meaning they adapt their identity to the host populations they live amongst. Get it? Polymorphic, meaning they adapt their identity to the host populations they live amongst. See, that's what that's what most people have been telling you, and you should realize that what they do is they come here and they act like they're us. They're chameleons. They pretend they're host, like the host people. They pretend they're white. They pretend they're cowboys and all these different things. And then they get involved in our governments and everything, and we think that they're white people and so on and so forth. But they're not. Polymorphism, the condition of occurring in several different forms. Biology, the occurrence of different forms among the members of a population or colony or in the life cycle of an individual organism. Genetics, the presence of genetic variation within a population upon which natural selection can operate. However, the one consistent distinguishing factor among Jews for the last 2,000 years and throughout the entire world is that they promote an anti-Christian agenda. That's correct. They hate Christ, Christians, and Christianity as if their very identity is dependent upon it. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Matthew 7:16-20. So you think about that for a few minutes. Remember that I said that wonderful revelation about Cain came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was a corrupt tree. And he is the fruit of that corrupt tree, and he could not bring forth good fruit, not even in when he brought his fruit to Yahweh. He gave him the second fruit. He could not bring forth good fruit. He killed his brother. He lied to the face of Yahweh, etc., etc. And throughout all of all of time, when you see the Pharisees at the time of Jesus, they are of the line of Cain, and you could see that they're still not good fruit, even way down those generations there. Because a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, you see? Doesn't that make sense? So the article goes on here. Is it because Christians all around the world, from Byzantine to Spain, suddenly woke up and became anti-Jewistic one day? Or is there something unique about Jewish behavior and their anti-Christian agenda? Complete list of Jewish expulsions throughout history. 1,030 examples. Wow, this list is getting bigger and bigger. I mean, the last time I checked it, it was 359. Wow. I'll be holding on to that. So the list just got bigger, ladies and gentlemen. Amazing. Well, this was quite an article, and it took almost the whole time for the news, so I think I'm just going to do the news now after this. This just ended up a report here. So we'll put this under the category of news bites, but here it is. Speaking to the Edomite Jews, Christ said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." As the Bible clearly tells us, Jews are the living, breathing antichrists living among us. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." Revelation 3:9. You know, the 2:9 says virtually the same thing. Now let's move on to the next question. Why are Edomites impersonating Israelites? Why is it that we see so much subterfuge, quote-unquote, to quote Gerald Soman, regarding the identity of the Jewish race? Although this is a complex question with many answers, there are a few obvious reasons. Claiming the identity of the Israelites is key to the Zionist movement in the takeover of Israel/Palestine. Number two, claiming to be Israelites gives the Jews an endless get-out-of-jail-free card with Christians, who falsely continue to view Jews as the chosen race of the Bible. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee," Genesis 12:3. Number three, this identity theft carried out by today's Jews also prevents the true Israelite descendants from realizing and claiming their identity. In his book, What Price Israel, Jewish writer Alfred M. Lilienthal succinctly explains why Jews perpetuate this deception concerning their identity. The Khazar Jews and their descendants today comprise 90% of all Jews in Israel. So now it's 90-10. So it was 95, but it doesn't matter. You get the idea. The Sephardic Jews being the other 10%. The Zionists after World War II conspired to allow for the term Jews to be applied to any and all persons claiming a true heritage to Israel, regardless of bloodline or other qualification. The right of return, quote-unquote, could be based on essentially any claim, spiritual, physical, or religious. In other words, a Jew, quote-unquote, is anybody we say a Jew is. And the world bought it. Ignatius Theophorus said, "Christianity did not come from Judaism. Rather, Judaism is a perversion of Christianity." And that is true. It did not come from. It was not spawned out of Judaism, Christianity. It's rather Babylon. Judaism was spawned out of Babylon. This is not an uncommon impression, and one finds sometimes among Jews as well as Christians that Judaism is the religion of the Hebrew Bible. It is, of course, a fallacious impression. Judaism is not the religion of the Bible. Of course it's not. Rabbi Ben Zion Boker Judaism in the Christian Predicament, New York, Alfred A. Knopf, 1967, page 59. You will notice the great difference between the Jewish and Christian religions, but these are not all. We consider the two religions so different that one excludes the other. We emphasize that there is no such thing as the Judeo-Christian religion. There is not any similarity between the two concepts. This is a Jew speaking. Rabbi Moshe M. Magal, President, National Jewish Information Service, Letter 21, August 61. Judaism was not evolved in Judah. It was in Babylon, like I said, you see? See, he was saying earlier in this article that John Hyrcanus was forcing Jews to become to ascribe to the religion of Judaism. That's not right. But this article was still good. There's no doubt about that. But I knew that was wrong. And even this rabbi's telling you this right here. Judaism was not evolved in Judah. It was in Babylon that Judaism first became that which was it was and still is. It's amazing how people don't know this. They don't understand this type of a thing. People that have been around for a long time don't even know that Judaism was created in Babylon. So let's continue. The Hebrew peoples, written by Jewish authors, see, they're still calling them Hebrew peoples. You see, but they've admitted already that the Jews are not Hebrews. But anyway, it was written by Jewish authors D.H. Winkler, L.M. King, D.R.G. Brandes, and H.R. Hall on pages. Notice these Jew names, Brandes, like Brandeis, Winkler, which is spelled different than Henry Winkler, King, the name King, right? Like Martin Luther King. That's a Jew name. Kagan means king, right? And then Hall, like Manly P. Hall. On pages 1781, 4, volume 3, appearing in Helmsworth's History of the World. So it continues here. There are many people who are supposedly awake, quote unquote, to the lies about World War II and 9/11 that continue to fall for the biggest lie of them all, that the Jews are Israelites. Nothing could be further from the truth. And many Jews openly admit that. The whole world has been deceived. Based on all available evidence, we must conclude that Gerald Soman was indeed correct when he asserted that the true identity of the Jewish so-called race is that of the Edomites. No one can deny that the Jews are a most unique and unusual people. That uniqueness exists because of their Edomite heritage. Ye cannot be English Jews. We are a race, he says. No, you're not. And only as a race can we perpetuate. Our mentality is of Edomitish character and differs from that of an Englishman. Enough subterfuges. Let us assert openly that we are international Jews. So that was what was at the beginning of this article. And they reiterated here, and that was from the Manifesto of the World Jewish Federation, January 1st, 1935, through its spokesperson, Gerald Soman. And now from Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Those who call themselves Jews today are clearly not the Israelites, Judahites, or Hebrews of the older part of the Testament. They are also not the Israelite Judeans of the newer part of the Testament, but rather Edomites, descendants of Esau, who married Canaanite wives and mingled his seed with other nations. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, Judeans, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9. Isn't that funny that Revelation 2:9 is 9 and 2 is 11? Or 9 times 2 is 18, 666? Do you find that a little interesting? This has been a Newsbite special report, and until next time, smarten up and don't look down.